Well, good morning. This is the latest ASA podcast with me, Dr. Chris Keel, from yet another exciting hotel, which for some reason was not providing me with particularly good cell phone reception. So sorry about the delay. The question of the day is relevant to the group that I spoke to today in New Orleans. This was the Subcontractors Association. So construction was the topic of the moment, and that's mostly what the focus was on. And the question that was presented to me from ASA was, what are the four most important aspects as far as construction predictions for the year? Which kind of dovetails into what I talked about today. So, two pieces of good news, two pieces of somewhat bad news. So we'll start with the bad news, get it out of the way. The big inhibition for construction right now is anticipating those rate reductions. The Fed is definitely going to lower rates. They're going to lower them by the end of the year, probably by 3/4 point reductions. But it won't happen until maybe late third quarter, could even be fourth quarter. So for a lot of construction projects, they're on hold. They haven't been canceled, but they're like, well, why would we take on debt now when that debt's going to get cheaper in a quarter or two? So what a lot of the construction companies are running into are projects that are not current. You know, they're basically, we're going to launch these towards the end of the year, maybe the beginning of next year. So that's one of the bad news. The other bad news is more consistent. It's been a problem for a while now. That's the labor shortage. It's not going to get any better. As I was putting this podcast together, we got the newest data on jobs. We had 225,000, I think, was the number of new jobs, to over 200,000, which is the critical thing. So you still have hiring going on. You still have companies trying to beef up their staff. Now, most of these new hires have been in the service sector. You're seeing a lot around medical. You're seeing quite a bit around food service. Still not much in the way of retail expansion, but you're seeing stuff on the construction side too. So it's not necessarily bad news. It just means that that labor shortage situation for construction is still going to be an issue. Still going to be doing most of your hiring by poaching people from other companies and spending a lot more money trying to keep your own people from being poached. So the two pieces of good news. One is that the infrastructure money is really now starting to flow. We saw a lot of the CHIPS Act money come out last year. Now you're starting to see the money coming in from the weirdly called Inflation Reduction Act, which had nothing to do with inflation or reduction, but was an infrastructure bill. That money has managed to work its way through most of the states, and it's now being spent. One of the interesting things about infrastructure spending at the state level, and this is kind of an observational thing, when states got money from the pandemic and when they got money from the latest infrastructure flows, they had some choice as to what to do with it. And it's turned out that states that are considered blue are spending more of their money on individuals trying to help people get through whatever the economic distress was. The so-called red states are spending it on more traditional infrastructure. So in terms of opportunity, you're going to see more actual construction activity in a state like Texas than you will in a state like California. Not universal by any stretch, but you're seeing a little bit of a difference in terms of how these states allocate their money. I was just at a conference in Puerto Rico for the Water and Sewer Distributors Association. They are looking for a really good year because a lot of that infrastructure money is going to be aimed at water and sewer. It's been kind of an eye-opening moment for the West Coast as these Pineapple Express things have come through and overwhelmed the water system. So that kind of money is now beginning to flow. So a lot of potential project money coming into play. The other piece of good news is that the sectors that have been growing most consistently for the last year are still growing. So you're still seeing a lot of transportation-related, logistics-related construction, a lot of warehousing still. Healthcare is catching up pretty quick. The healthcare sector is recovering from kind of the lack of investment during the COVID year. And when you look at how the consumer is spending money, there's still a lot of spending going on, particularly with the upper third of consumers. The number one thing that consumers are spending on is healthcare. Again, kind of predictable. Boomers are getting older, and boomers have always driven spending in this country. And now it's like, well, I'm older. I want more drugs. I want replacement parts. I want attention paid to my health. I want to live to be 150. So we're seeing a lot of boomer-inspired healthcare spending. Number two, when it comes to spending, particularly for that upper income group, has been recreation. So you're seeing a lot more spending on everything from travel to lodging when you're traveling to buying power boats and yachts and whatever else. So the upper third of income earners have not felt the downturn at all, and they're continuing to spend pretty aggressively. Construction regionally is also following a pretty familiar pattern. People are leaving the high tax, high cost of living states like California, like Washington State, Illinois, and they're moving to states that have lower cost of living and lower taxes. And you can see that people aren't even necessarily moving very far. I mean, a lot of the people that left California ending up in Arizona, Utah, Nevada. A lot of expansion from the Northeast into the Southeast. People moving down to North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky. And that, of course, spurs construction because a lot of places that people are moving to don't have the stock, whether it's non-residential or residential, to accommodate this movement. I mean, South Dakota is one of the fastest growing states in the country, but it has a very, very limited residential infrastructure. And so it's trying to rapidly catch up with that population shift. So overall, this particular group that I spoke to today, these are subcontractors, and they're in that unenviable position of being in between the GCs and the overall building organizations and the like, and they're seeing a little bit of liquidity distress. They're not so worried about their overall business. They see the projects are there, but liquidity is now a problem because these projects have been delayed. They still have payments to make. They still have staff to keep. They still have equipment to buy. They still have inventory to buy, and there's not a lot of money coming in. One of the comments made by one of the people here was that 38% of the GC or the subcontractors report serious liquidity issues, and that's a significant percentage, and that's going to have some impact on ASA members as well, because those subs are going to be trying not to spend money until these bigger projects get underway. So there you go. That's the latest report on construction, and we will talk again next week.